Hi friends, happy Friday, welcome back. I can't believe that I'm getting ready to say that the August shred enrollment, August you guys, it's crazy, where has the year gone? August shred enrollment opens on Monday at noon EST. So I wanted to start with that because I know so many of you have been asking and are super excited. I'm super excited. So again, that opens Monday at noon EST. So today we are going to talk about 10 things that I wish that I knew when I was on in the beginning of my fitness journey. So these are, I probably could have made this list a little longer, but I was trying to not make this episode, 4 hours long. So these are 10 things that I wish that I understood or that I really knew, because it makes things so much more simple. For some of you guys, these are going to be like, oh wow, I'm so glad she's telling me that. I'm so glad to know that at the start of my fitness journey. And then there's some of you that are going to be like, oh yeah, I already know that. That's a good refresher, or whatever that looks like. But we're going to roll through these because I think they are important to know. So that's why they're on here. So, and these are in no particular order. Number one, all diets have one thing in common, a calorie deficit. So if it is a diet that is designed to make you lose weight, they all have the same thing in common. They put you in a calorie deficit. So that is where you're eating fewer calories than your body needs to maintain the weight. So this doesn't matter if you're doing keto, if you're counting macros, if you're doing Whole30, paleo, Beachbody, putting stuff in Tupperware containers, whatever that looks like, or just counting calories, Weight Watchers, any of those diets, they all have the same thing in common. They put you in a calorie deficit. Even if you're not tracking your food in terms of counting calories, and say like you're doing keto and you're not counting calories, just removing carbs and eliminating that whole food group, and cutting back sugar and things like that, that will put the majority of people in a calorie deficit because they're removing like one whole food group. So you're taking out like all breads and fruits and veggies and things like that. So anyhow, all diets that make you lose weight have the one thing in common, and that is a calorie deficit. So if you're trying to lose weight, they will all share that same theme. Number two, a diet or way of eating should be a lifestyle. So choose something that fits your lifestyle the best. So you might have somebody who loves low carb and they thrive on that and they're able to maintain that and sustain that for forever. Whereas you might have someone like me who loves ice cream and popcorn and carbs, and I could never do keto. I don't even know if I could do it for a day, just because the way that I eat and the foods that I enjoy are pretty carb heavy. I love fruits, I love vegetables, I love popcorn, oatmeal, sweet potatoes, again, ice cream. So there's those fun foods that I love that I would not want to eliminate. So I choose counting macros because it is inclusive of everything. I don't have to eliminate any foods. So that works best with my lifestyle. And I have found with the clients that I work with, they share this same thing, that it works well for everyone I work with, just because, again, you're not having to eliminate anything. Number three, and this ties into number two, but follow the 80-20 rule. So I know when I first started on my fitness journey, even before I was counting calories or doing, like, I didn't even know what macros were. And like I said, I wasn't counting calories. I tried to just eat clean. And it was to the extent of, like, I didn't allow, like, any fun foods. Everything had to be, like, clean. I was reading the labels on everything. And, like, it had to have very, like, few ingredients. And not that you shouldn't do that now, or that I shouldn't do that now, or that I don't do that now. What I'm saying is I didn't allow like any fun foods. So like eating clean, became more of, it was very difficult to do all of the time. I found myself like not wanting to go eat out and only eat certain things. And I felt guilty if I had like what, somebody would say is, I'm doing the air quotes, a bad food. or a cheat meal. And so I kind of spiraled on that, where it became hard to just eat clean all the time, because I was constantly thinking about like foods I wasn't allowed to have. And then it became like this obsession. So for me, what works best with, especially with counting macros, because nothing is off limits, is I follow the 80-20 rule, where 80% of the food that I eat are whole, like clean foods. The way I always describe it to people, the easiest way to think of it is things that either grew from the earth at some point, or that grow from the earth now, or that walked on the earth. So when you're thinking about like, you know, meats and fruits and veggies and things like that. So 80% of your food should be comprised of that. And then 20% can be like the fun foods and like, you know, the popcorn, the ice cream, stuff like that. Number four, eat adequate protein. And when I say adequate protein, I know I've talked about this a lot, but 0.8 to 1 gram per pound of body weight. And this is important to not only build muscle, but sustain muscle. So eating that adequate protein ensures that when we're losing weight, that it's fat loss and that we're not losing muscle and tissue. And then of course, when we're at maintenance and we're not trying to lose weight and we're just trying to maintain our body, we want to obviously maintain muscle mass. And so eating that 0.8 to 1 gram per pound sends that signal to our body to hold on to muscle. So whether we're dieting or whatever that looks like. But I did not know that, obviously, way back when. And I probably, if I would have tracked like a full day of eating at that point, I maybe was eating like 40, maybe 50 grams of protein a day, like max. And I would say that's where a lot of people are when they first start in like my shred program. If they've never tracked food until then, they'll find that they, like, that is the one area of opportunity, is they eat very little protein. And it's so important, especially as we age and we start losing bone and tissue and muscle. We want to make sure that as we age that we're still eating that adequate amount, so that when we get older that we hold on to our muscle mass. Number five, stop trying to burn calories with your workout. So think about your exercising and your working out to build muscle, to get stronger, to build endurance. Your workout should not be just to burn calories or burn off the drinks or the food that you had the night before. I really wish that I knew this sooner, because it took me a long time to get into strength training. Because when I first started working out, I was doing like, I can't even think of the name of the classes, but I would go to like group fitness classes, which is great because it gets you moving and involved. And then I got to where I was just doing cardio all the time because I thought that's what you needed to do. But again, I didn't have like, I didn't know what I didn't know. So I'm here to tell you guys maybe what you don't know, which is quit trying to burn calories with your weight training or your exercising in general, and use that time to get stronger and build muscle. Because when you have more muscle on your body, it allows you to eat more, it allows you to burn more calories at rest, it protects your organs. There's just so many benefits of having muscle, and your workouts should not be solely based on burning calories or trying to burn fat. Number six, if you want to change your body composition and build muscle, then you need to follow a plan that is designed around progressive overload and track your workouts. I literally did not do this for the longest time. Even when I started weight training in a gym, the first, I would say, probably 2 years of doing that, I don't want to say like I delayed progress. Like, I was seeing plenty of progress, but I probably did delay progress. I probably could have seen more progress sooner had I been tracking my workouts and following progressive overload and not like switching things up all the time and just finding random exercises to do. So hands down, if you want to build muscle and see changes in your body composition, then make sure that you're following a plan that's designed around progressive overload and track your workouts. All of the workouts that I provide in my programs, they follow progressive overload, meaning that for the 4 weeks, the workouts do not change. This allows you to get better at those exercises week over week, to get stronger, to make sure that form is better. So there's so many different ways that you can progress your training. It doesn't just have to be about more load. It can be that you're increasing your reps, that your rest times are a little shorter, or that you're able to do those same workouts with better form. There's just, again, there's so many different things, and I have a whole podcast that goes through the different ways that you can work on progressive overload. So if you haven't listened to that, I highly recommend it. Number seven, don't use cardio to burn fat. Don't let cardio be your only form of exercise. Do cardio because you enjoy it. Do it for good heart health, to help with digestion, for mental health, and your mood. So I personally have a step goal that I shoot for at least 10,000 steps a day during the summer months and like the warmer weather. I average probably 12 to 15,000 steps a day just because I like to get outside and walk. If I have office hours with my groups, I typically will get on a treadmill at the gym and like walk while I answer questions on my phone. Just things like that, so I'm not sitting all day. I can't stand that. If I take phone calls, I typically take those while I'm walking. So again, I'm just much more active in the summer, so it's easier to get more steps in. But I enjoy that. It helps with mental clarity. It always can help change my mood. If I feel like I'm like bored and I'm going to eat the house down because I'm like, ugh, I don't have anything to do, I'm just going to go eat, I'll go for a walk. Plus, I have to take Bear 1 to 2 times a day because he is super high energy. So cardio it can help with furthering a calorie deficit, but that should not be why you do cardio. It shouldn't be the only reason. So again, there's so many other benefits of doing cardio. It should be an amount that you enjoy doing. It doesn't have to be overdone, and it can be as simple as just walking every day. Number eight, periodize your nutrition. So this sets you up for success and ensures that you have a plan to follow, not just during your weight loss like phases, but after that, so that you can maintain those results. The biggest mistake that I see people make is when they go through a diet and they lose all this weight, and then they try to just go back to eating and doing the things that they were doing when they were heavier. And so then they end up regaining the weight that they've lost, and then a lot of those people will gain even more. So if you periodize your nutrition and you look at your year and you determine when you're going to diet, one, this helps with consistency so that you're not trying to diet during times that are super hard to be consistent. You know, a lot of people have a hard time dieting in the summer because they travel a lot. They're out on boats and on patios having drinks, and there's just, people are a lot more social during warmer weather. And so if you know that you're that person, that you have a hard time dieting in the summer, don't plan dieting phases during the summer. Let that be your maintenance months, and then diet during times where you can be really good and consistent with your calorie deficit so that you're not yo-yoing. And then after your dieting phase, make sure that you have implemented phases where you're going to reverse diet and be at maintenance for a while so that you can, again, maintain your results. I knew nothing about this in the beginning of my fitness journey. And so I would constantly diet, and a lot, like when I had got involved in competing, I was dieting for these shows, and then I would never reverse diet, and I would gain, I'm not even kidding you guys, like within a matter of weeks, because I was so susceptible to weight gain because I had been like really, really chronically dieting for like 4 to 5 months for some of these shows, and I was super tiny, very small, and very low calorie. And I would just try to go back to eating how I was before I was dieting for the shows, and I would gain back like 10 to 15 pounds within a few weeks. It was crazy. So yes, make sure that you have plans in place in terms of periodizing your nutrition so that when you lose the weight, you've got a plan to maintain it and then cut again later if you need to. Number nine, weigh yourself regularly. You cannot manage what you don't measure. I believe that's how that goes. So this is the easiest way to accidentally gain 20 pounds is to stop weighing yourself regularly or at all. And then it's like, my clothes are fitting tighter. And then you jump on the scale at the doctor's office and you're like, holy cow, how did I gain 10 pounds in like, you know, just a few months? Super easy to do if you're not keeping an eye on it, because you don't realize that things have kind of spiraled out of control. So I recommend weighing yourself a minimum of 3 times a week. I personally weigh myself almost every day, and then I track that average week over week, month over month, and I look at my trends that way. So definitely make sure that you're weighing or measuring or both regularly, no matter if you're at maintenance and you're maybe having untracked, especially if you're at maintenance and having untracked time periods in there. That way you can make sure that things do not, you know, spiral out of control. But definitely when you're dieting, so that you can obviously know when you need to make adjustments to plan and things like that. And then number 10, and this one's so simple, but again, these are like verbiage and things that I didn't know then. If you're gaining weight, you're in a calorie surplus. If you're losing weight, you're in a calorie deficit. And if you're maintaining your weight, you're at maintenance calories. And so when you hear people say, I'm in a calorie deficit, but I'm not losing weight, then you're not in a calorie deficit. It can be that you're either super inconsistent, which is what I see most of the time. And maybe during the week you're eating in a calorie deficit, but then the weekend comes and you, you know, eat like an asshole, and then your calorie intake for the week, the average is more closer to maintenance than it is, or it might be on the like higher end of a deficit, but it's not enough to like see drastic changes, you know, weekly. But again, that's what I see most of the time, is people kind of spin their wheels because they will eat in a deficit during the week and then overeat on the weekends, and then it just kind of is a wash. So again, it's just as simple as, you know, if you're losing weight, you're in a deficit. If you're gaining, you're in a surplus. If you're not losing and you're not gaining, you're at maintenance. So I know some of those are super simple, and again, some of you guys are probably going to be like, oh, I already know all that. But I think there will be a lot of you that it will be helpful, at least a few of those things, because like I said, when I first started, I literally knew none of those, and I could add probably like 10 more things to that list, but I was trying to keep this shorter and a little more digestible, as always. So I hope that was helpful. Again, Shred enrollment opens on Monday, noon EST. I appreciate you guys for being here, and I hope that you have an amazing weekend.